Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Daniels, Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia, September 24, 1897. Previously unpublished. Dear Brother Daniels, I have some matters to present before you. After we first moved to Corranbong, we came to a place where we had no means to use to advance the work in any lines. Then it was that I solicited a loan of £200 from Brother Hare, at 5% interest. This I loaned to the school. I wish now to take up this note, as there is money now to be used in behalf of the school. I do not wish to carry this indebtedness any longer. I wish to hand Brother Hare his money, to do with as he pleases. If he wishes to lend it to the school, he can do so, and all that is to be done is to apply it thus, he letting the school have the money in the place of me. I do not feel it best to carry all this responsibility, therefore I request that this matter be taken from me. I carry a debt of £1,000 borrowed from Sister Wessels. This is enough, and just as soon as means can be appropriated, I wish this to be provided for. You see that I am altogether too heavily laden. Until within a short time ago, I thought that it was only $500 I had borrowed from Brother Hare, but I learned that it is $1,000. This has been used in the school interest. As the school has used the money, I wish it to pay the loan from the funds now in hand, and relieve me. I cannot be responsible for this money longer. There is also some of my money in the school. I wish to take this and use it in paying borrowed money, and also to invest in the chapel here in Corranbong. I have money in the New South Wales Conference, and that must be met, for I shall need the money to pay interest as soon as it is possible to get it. I think that Brother Hare is in need of money, for a few weeks since he borrowed $35 from me. He has not as yet made any donation to the meeting house, while nearly everyone else has done so. I have not as yet made any donation. My family will all do something in this line, for all want an interest in the house of God. We have been waiting for the outside lining for the church. This is coming up by boat, but the boat has been delayed. After doing all in our power, we trust the matter to God and feel at rest and peace in Him who understands all about the matter. This is His work, and we have obeyed His orders. In answer to a letter from Brother Haskell, Brother Palmer wrote a letter to him that I wished he had not told Brother Haskell to let me see. I read it and felt sad, for I felt that the rebuke of God was upon Brother Palmer. Had he that real humbleness of mind that it is essential for all who are in the service of God to have, he would have seen the inconsistency of tracing such words. My heart aches, for I know that he does not know what manner of spirit he is of. His words are the fruit that is produced by a conceited mind. If this is the spirit in which he does the work of God, I am distressed beyond measure. I was cautioned to speak to you that you be on guard, for there is danger of your linking up with men and depending on their wisdom. You will hurt your own soul and the souls of others if you show great confidence in one man and lightly regard others of your brethren. Brother Palmer's soul is precious, but he needs not his confidence in himself strengthened. You need to be cautious and to hang your helpless soul on God. He will be your wisdom, your sanctification, and your righteousness. I cannot see how Brother Palmer could write such things to a brother old enough to be his father. Certainly nothing in Elder Haskell's letter called for such words. The words of inspiration are not like the words of men. They express what man never spoke and convey that which man never conceived. "The words that I speak unto you," said Christ, "they are spirit and they are life." John 6, verse 63. "If my words abide in you, then are ye my disciples indeed." John 8, verse 31. "If you, if Brother Palmer, if I, make our calling and election sure, we must hide in the cleft of the rock. Then the mind, the thoughts, the words, will be renewed. The heart will not be puffed up unto vanity, but will be meek, lowly, and contrite. Oh, that this self-esteem, these high ideas of our own wisdom, were cut away from us, that errors might not be made because we do not make God and God alone our guide and counselor." There are sins of ignorance. But I think that an old and gray-headed man who has labored as a chosen one of God from nearly the first rise of the message, one who has ever shown that his whole heart and soul was in the work, deserves our confidence, and the confidence of men who are much younger than he is. I will not encourage or excuse for one moment the spirit that prompted the writing of such a letter to one of God's faithful servants. Whatever the work in which Brother Palmer is engaged, it is only one part of the great whole, and every thread of the web makes up the fabric. For one to assume the attitude and spirit that this letter reveals is not right. I must say that Brother Palmer needs to learn of Christ to be meek and lowly of heart. I have little hope of the success of our work unless all pomposity and self-esteem is cut away from the workers, and they learn to walk humbly and softly before God. The conversation and conduct must be a real and visible expression of grace and truth within. When everything goes according to their own ideas and plans, men may express love and humility, but if the spirit and character, the words and actions, do not always reveal the spirit of meekness, kindness, and Christian courtesy, the spirit of Christ does not abide in the soul. Whatever is contrary to the love, humility, and faith that should be cultivated is a denial of our profession. We need the converting power of God every day, that we may reveal the sanctification of soul, spirit, and body unto the Lord. I know that the spirit that moves those that are active workers in the cause of God must be of an order different from what it now is, or the Lord cannot impart to us His Holy Spirit in rich measure. I long for the spirit of truth and righteousness to circulate in all our borders. But let none exalt man. Let all give honor to whom honor is due, and let there not be a lifting up of self in any place or on any occasion. There is an abundance of this to be corrected in our midst before we need expect success. I have to close this hastily written communication this morning, but I have much to say when I have time. Let us bear in mind that the Lord is soon to come, and that we must wait in patient meekness, working, praying, and watching for the coming of our Lord in the clouds of heaven.